Friday edition, Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strove with you in the Everlight Solar Studio, downtown Madison, Wisconsin, as always, joined by the great producer, Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn, with me as always on your Monday, March 18th, 2024, the day after Selection Sunday. I have about 87 printed brackets in my hand as I've been crunching the numbers, getting through everything a little bit, trying to get this in or get this correct, if you will. So this has been a morning. I'm just looking at this bracket, memorizing this thing. Hunter, let's play a game. I think this is how much time I've spent on the bracket already. Name any team in the NCAA field of 68 teams. I'll tell you what seed they are off the top of my head. Not cheating. I'm looking right at you. Go.
Oh, geez. I feel like we've talked about a bunch. Michigan State?
Michigan State is a 9 seed.
You might be right. I don't know. I'm not looking at a bracket. Okay.
Yeah, they play Mississippi State as the 8 seed.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so I have this bracket memorized, I think.
Colorado State.
Is the issue. Ooh, Colorado State. Are they a 12? No, they're not. Ooh, I don't know this one. They're in a play-in game. They're an 11.
Or are they the 10?
I think they're an 11 because they're in a play-in game. All right.
Because Colorado is also in a play-in game. One's the 11, one's the 10.
No, they're both 10s. They're both 10s.
Oh.
You were right. You were right. Both 10s. All right. I have the entire bracket memorized, but I am incredibly thrilled that it is this time of year. As we've been saying for weeks and months on this show, Hunter, this is the best time of the year, right? And I think this weekend, if you're just jumping into the college basketball pool, first off, welcome. But second off, you are already quickly understanding that this March Madness, this tournament that's coming up beginning this week, will be the most chaotic tournament we've ever had. And I think Conference Tournament Week proved that. With, what was it, 21 number one seeds not even getting to the conference championship game in the respective conferences, which is tied for the most ever. I mean, it has been pure chaos the entirety of this college basketball season. But again, I think it's today, in this year, more so than ever before, which is phenomenal. And I think that's what makes the chaos and the madness and everything we're going to see over the course of the next couple of weeks so much better. So if you're just jumping in, again, welcome. But be ready to pick upsets. Be ready to witness history. Be ready to witness a 14 seed rattle off an Elite Eight run. Because this year, more so than any other, the parity is at an all-time high in college basketball. And that makes for so much entertainment, right? The one conference where I don't think there was a ton of parity was a conference Hunter and I called a couple of weeks ago, maybe the best conference of college basketball, and they end up with only 3 teams in the tournament. That's the Big East, right? UConn and Marquette in the Big East championship game, it was chalk. It was the top 2 teams. Every other conference, it seemed, though, was like, oh, a double-digit seed just won the ACC tournament. NC State, a 10 seed, just won the ACC tournament. You look at the MAC, right? Like Drake winning the Missouri Valley. I mean, you just have all these upsets across the board. Wisconsin and Illinois were in the Big Ten championship game. Purdue didn't make it. Northwestern obviously didn't make it as the Badgers beat them over the weekend. The absolute chaos is so much damn fun. It is the absolute most chaotic tournament field I remember. And look, I talked about this a little bit on Saturday. Pablo Iglesias of WKOW here in Madison joined me on Saturday morning to do a show we call Saturday Tip Off. We do it occasionally during the college basketball season. We did one Saturday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. on ESPN Madison. And we were talking about bracket philosophy and how you dice through the brackets and how you operate and how you look at things and the way you determine things, which was super fun, right? It's a fun conversation. I think everybody does it a little bit differently. But for me, every year since I was like a kid, Sunday night, I fill out a bracket, and I call it my instinct bracket, which I did, and we'll probably look at it a bit later, my instinct bracket. But this year, my instinct bracket, it was the toughest time I've ever had with my instinct bracket. I picked every 11 seed to beat every 6 seed in the first round because I think upsets are just the norm this year. It's going to be unbelievable. David on the YouTube chat, 87 brackets, huh, Strofe? Dedicated to your craft, I see. No, I'm just an idiot. and I'm just chaotic, and I thrive in chaos, and I'm having fun with it. Joseph in the YouTube chat, Shrove, am I looking ahead if I say Badgers must beat Duke and beat them badly? We'll get to that in a little bit, Joe. As that region, that entire region, is insanity. But I do want to start with the Badgers and the weekend that was for them as they make it to the Big Ten championship game yesterday. They fall to Illinois by a couple of points, but it was a game in which they were in. It was a game in which their offense was efficient again, and that is now multiple games in a row as they go on a great run in the Big Ten tournament. They get to the Big Ten tournament championship for the first time in a few years, which was really impressive. It was really encouraging. They have an overtime win over Purdue on Saturday, which was incredibly encouraging when you have the discrepancy at the free throw line that you had against a team like Purdue. I don't know if I have it right off the top of my head, but I know it was somewhere in the region of Purdue shot 36 free throws, Wisconsin shot 9. Tyler Wall, Stephen Crowell, Nolan Winter all foul out, and you still find a way to beat the number 3 team in the country. That's impressive. Right, so Wisconsin playing their best basketball in March is absolutely what you want to see. And to be real honest with you, I'm glad they lost to Illinois, because I think you need to get kicked down a little bit before going into this and understanding anybody can beat you. And look, Illinois is a team, obviously, that beat the Badgers at the Kohl Center a couple weeks ago. So they already knew how good they were, and Illinois is a good team. But I think it's a wake-up call of sorts for Wisconsin, where they can say, okay, we lost on Sunday, we don't want to have that feeling again. So I threw a poll on Twitter, at Alex_Stroff, where you can follow me, Stroff, how you spell my last name. I just tweeted, that was the last time we will see Wisconsin lose until blank. And it got almost 500 votes, which is fantastic, but I was really curious on the pulse of the fan base. After seeing the turnaround that the Badgers have had over the course of, I'd say, probably the last 2 weeks, right? Despite some losses to Illinois and Purdue over the course of the last couple weeks, this is a team that's playing ball like they were in December and January. This looks like the team that beat Marquette in December. This looks like the team that started off 7-1 in Big Ten play and was in first place of the Big Ten for a majority of the month of January. This looks like a team that can be viewed as a top 15, top 10 team in the country. At least they did during the course of the Big Ten tournament run, which is incredibly encouraging for the Badgers. For a team that has clear issues, they still can't defend very well. I thought they played, despite allowing over 90 points yesterday, I thought they played better defense, but it's still a concern. The encouraging sign, though, is you can fill up the box score against anybody. And they did it against Purdue. They did it against Illinois. This is a team that can score the rock. And A.J. Storr seems like he's been getting a little bit more efficient and a little bit more consistent. Stephen Crowell, when he scores in double figures, you're always going to be in a position to win. So this Badgers team actually has me feeling pretty good. They get 12 seed James Madison Friday night, 8:40 p.m., excuse me, Central Time. Friday night, the 5-seeded Badgers taking on the 12th-seeded James Madison. What is their mascot, Hunter? You seem like a guy that would know this. What is James Madison? Do you know?
They're the Dukes, and then they have like a bulldog that wears a crown and has a cape.
Okay. Would you say you're pretty good with college mascots?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I allude to it, I think at some point we'll look at the bracket together here on the show today. Will there be a point where I can be like, hey, what's the mascot of Grand Canyon? Will you know the answer?
Yes, I believe it's like a deer. I know that. I don't think they're the Elks, but it's something like that. So I can get pretty darn close if I don't know it exactly. It's a sickness for me.
Yeah, it is indeed Thunder, the muscular antelope.
Yeah, I was close.
Has listed on their website, the muscular antelope.
Antlered animal, I was close.
They're the antelopes, yeah, that's a good guess. I mean, I would have never known that, so that's impressive. So I love that people are already chiming in, asking if it's crazy. So Peyton on YouTube says, is it crazy to take TCU over Purdue, which TCU, I believe, is an 8-seed, a 9-seed. This is the beauty.
It is absolutely crazy. 9-seeds don't play well against 1-seeds. 8-seeds are fine if you want to do that upset. Don't do a 9-seed.
But this is what I mean about bracket philosophy. Nothing is crazy. to answer your question, nothing this year.
It is if history tells you that one way goes the other.
History could go out the damn window this year. History doesn't matter this year. Nothing matters this year. This is the most competitive field we'll ever see. And I'm serious because the parity in college basketball this year is at an all-time high. There is one really good team, and you and I have been saying this for 2 months now. UConn is the only really good team in the NCAA tournament this year. You could convince me a 16 seed wins two games this year in the first round. You could convince me. I don't think it will happen. I don't think it's likely, but you could convince me.
There have been other years where the tournament has had a lot of parity, and there's still things that hold true. I was talking about it out in the office. If you lose your first conference tournament game, you don't win the national title. It hasn't happened since 1987.
I was going to save this for what Strofe learned, because you started throwing stats out today that I have never heard. So you could spoil what Strofe learned. Some of the stats you were throwing at interns today, I was like, what was this guy doing last night?
I spent a lot of time on TikTok. I spent a lot of time on betting TikTok. So there's some trends to the tournament in its history. We'll save it then, if that's what you're going to save it for. But that's a nice little tease.
Yeah, we'll save it. If you're watching along with us on YouTube, if you're watching along with us on Twitter or Facebook as well, chime in the comments section or tweet at us. Let me know who you're picking to win it all. I would imagine pretty much everybody's on the UConn train, but I'm curious, as we're less than 24 hours removed from the release of the bracket, I'm just curious who you have in the national championship game, and then are you really set on any sleeper teams? So I would say like 8 seed or higher to make the Elite Eight or further. Is there any sleeper Cinderella teams that you are locked in on already as the bracket's been up for less than 24? David says a 16 seed winning two games, Strofe, that's a little too crazy. Yeah, you're right, but My point is, David, I think this is the most chaotic year of the tournament we'll see. And I don't think anything would blow my mind. Like, if UConn lost to Stetson in the first round, that would blow my mind. Because UConn, to me, is heads and tails and leaps and bounds above everybody. Does that mean I think they win? No. I actually don't think they'll go back-to-back. I don't know who is, though, right? Like, I'll tell you about my instinct bracket again a little bit later. But on pure instinct, I do not have UConn making the Final Four. I have them losing in the Elite Eight to Iowa State. I think Iowa State is really good. Now, I might be a little biased because Iowa State is led by a guy, a freshman named Milan Momcilovic, I should know this.
You literally just did two of his games.
Well, I did his brother's, yeah. His little brother's.
Also do a Pewaukee game?
I did, yeah. I called Milan's games when he was in high school, yeah. And I already, but I've been watching SportsCenter a lot this weekend, and none of the anchors say his name correctly. I believe Linda Cohn called him Momcilovic. It's Momcilovic. But I think Iowa State is terrific. I mean, just looking at the bracket, it's pure chaos across the board. But sticking with the Badgers theme, there is some really, really intriguing matchups if Bucky goes on a run this week. So if they beat James Madison, which I expect they will, the chalk matchup in round two would be a rematch of the 2015 national championship game. It would be Duke Wisconsin in round two. That would be an opening weekend game, Duke Wisconsin. Two of the teams with like the most tournament appearances in the last 30 years. Wisconsin has made 23 of the last 25 tournaments. Last year was only one of two in the last 25 years they've missed. And Duke seemingly makes it every year, obviously. This is an unbelievable round two, weekend one potential matchup. 4-5 seed. Duke's the 4 seed in the South region. How about elsewhere in the South region? The 2 seed is the Marquette Golden Eagles in the same region. You could have a Badgers Marquette Elite Eight matchup, theoretically, if you want to pick it that way. Though I think that's unlikely, because I think Houston is so good and they would beat the Badgers in the Sweet 16. But Marquette, the 2 seed. Kentucky is the 3 seed. So you could, by the way, in the Sweet 16, have a Marquette. You could theoretically in the Sweet 16, if you are a Wisconsin homer like me, have a Houston-Wisconsin game and a Kentucky-Marquette game in the Sweet 16. Same region. And then the winners of those two games would play each other with a trip to the Final Four on the line.
And just to add to the history between programs, Wisconsin or Marquette and Kentucky, they played in the Elite Eight when Dwayne Wade had a triple double up at the Metrodome.
That's right.
To then get them to the Final Four in New Orleans.
Yeah, Florida is the seventh seed in this region. They would theoretically, if chalk prevails, would play Marquette in the second round. But their center breaking his leg yesterday. Did you see that clip? Really, really sad
see
stuff.
It. You could hear it in the video. It was, it was gross.
Not good in the SEC championship game yesterday. So. Look, obviously my mind is all over the place. I think that's how everybody's works this Monday after Selection Sunday. So apologies if I'm hard to follow today. But it is chaotic. It is the best time of the year. It is the week I get the most excited for over the course of the college basketball season. So I'm looking forward to Wednesday, Hunter. We'll be out at the Tipsy Cow and Sun Prairie celebrating their win in the burger bracket, the real bracket, as I called it last week. The Badger Club burger bracket, which we introduced this year with our friends at Lake Louis Brewing and the delicious Badger Club. I've got a six-pack sitting in my fridge right now. Can't wait to crack into that as I continue to look at all these brackets I have, man. Look, like I got to go through all of these tonight. I got so many of them. I'm gonna write on every one of these tonight. I can't wait to crack open a Badger Club and just start hammering through this tonight because I spend so much time tinkering when it comes to the bracket. My annual tradition is the Wednesday night before the tournament tips off around 11 a.m. on Thursday is I stay up all night. I typically don't sleep the Wednesday night before the tournament starts because I'm tinkering and I'm changing and I'm over-evaluating like Grand Canyon versus St. Mary's. Like I already know that's a game I'm going to get stuck on in the first round of that 5-12 matchup between Grand Canyon and St. Mary's. Wednesday night is when I do the deep dive into that. So this is the absolute best time of the year. So Marquette, I also want to talk about a bit as well as they get to the Big East Championship game. They get pounded by UConn there without Tyler Kolek, which is an important asterisk on that game. Of course, I do wonder what happens as Tyler Kolek returns to the lineup, right? Like he's without a doubt Marquette's best player. He is the floor general. He runs the show for Shaka Smart's squad. But I'm very curious to see how I don't want to say chemistry because obviously there's chemistry. He's the point guard. He's the reigning Big East player of the year. Like he's a very good player. And he makes them better, and he makes them championship level good, but he's missed some significant time now, and I think it was by choice. Like I think our buddy Brian D, who I'll be doing some shows with later this week on ESPN Milwaukee, called it the prude route for Marquette, right? Like just sit him out of the tournament, let him get fully healthy with the oblique injury, let him get back for the games that actually do matter, because Marquette was pretty much locked in on a two seed. Unless they really got beat down bad by like Providence in the Big East tournament, but they didn't. They took care of business against Providence, who misses the tournament, and now they advance to the number two seed in the South region. They'll take on 15-seeded Western Kentucky.
Hilltoppers.
They are the Hilltoppers. I was a Hilltoppers fan growing up.
It's a weird mascot. He's creepy.
Yeah, he is creepy. Big Red, yeah. So I actually struggle with this game, Hunter, and I want to throw to you now and give you the floor because obviously you're a Marquette fan. You're also a Duke fan, and these two teams are in the same region.
And I do cheer for the Badgers,
right.
So it's
so you've got a lot of you've got a lot of rooting interest in one region today.
Yeah, and they all play on Friday, so it's just like it's going to be an emotional day for me. I'm glad I get the Saturday off
to cope. Yeah,
the reason that I'm feeling really good about this Marquette team right now, it's the reason why I put Cam Jones up on the screen as well for this graphic. Mm-hmm. He is not happy that he did not make an all Big East team. And he showed it in the Big East. He's carrying this offense right now.
Yeah, he did a great job.
And the fact that any chemistry questions for this team, Tyler Kolek, Cam Jones, David Joplin, and Oso Iguodaro have played together for 3 years now. These guys know how to play together.
Yeah.
They're fine. I'm not worried about this game. I'm only worried about it because I get nervous about every one of my teams whenever they play. But I'm more concerned about the rebounding of Florida if they advance in the second round.
But they're without their leading rebounder.
I know, but they're still their guards are big.
But you're right; they are still good on the board. They are a really good offensive rebounding team, and that's something Marquette has struggled defending, you know, in past years. So yeah, that is something to keep an eye on. You are totally right about that. Now, the thing that I am most intrigued by is just how this region shakes out. And I think it's because of the rooting interests, right? Because I'm with you. I also root for Marquette. I root for Marquette and Wisconsin to be good. I think basketball is better in the state of Wisconsin when both teams are good. So that's something that that excites me. So I, Hunter, I am curious, though, you know, is there any, like, glaring mistakes on this bracket to you? I have one that pops out to me, but I'll let you. And what I mean by mistakes is essentially the committee got it wrong. Somebody seeded too high, somebody seeded too low. Did you have any problems with the bracket overall? Any random takes you got brewing up in that mental of yours?
I wasn't a fan of FAU being an 8.
Too low or too high?
I thought that was too low. I thought that they were solid in, like, being an 8 seed as a mid-major, like, that's just kind of weird. New Mexico is an 11 as well. And then the fact that
New Mexico is an 11 was mine.
Yeah. And then the fact that Seton Hall isn't in the tournament. They played one of the toughest schedules out there. Mm-hmm. They were a good Big East team. And then they just like, nope, you're just not in. But we're going to give the Mountain West, who apparently they love. The conspiracy theory that I have seen from some Big East fans is the fact that the Mountain West has a CBS TV deal. The Big East is a Fox one. They turned down CBS, and now CBS is a little pissy, so they decided, hey, let's stick it to the conference that turned us down and not give them as many teams in, when they were one of the best conferences in the country, and to only give your top three teams bids is insane to me.
So who do you think they missed the most? I would argue Seton Hall.
Yeah, Seton Hall, I get St. John's as an argument, but Seton Hall should have been in this tournament.
Seton Hall should have been in the tournament. I'm with you on that. I don't think Virginia should have been. Now, they get the play-in game at the 10 seed, and you know, if they win that game against Colorado State, they would get the honor of playing 7-seeded Texas. Virginia could go on a run for a team that probably shouldn't be in the field. I would rather see Seton Hall in that spot than Virginia.
Play-in teams, typically, if they win, they can go on a run. So because you
have
the
opportunity to get hot, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. Another issue, I had Utah State as an 8. I thought that was low. I think you could make the case they're better than Texas. I thought Dayton as a 7 has the opportunity to be really sneaky. I we'll look at my instinct bracket, which didn't save. So we'll actually just go instinct here momentarily, as I'll quickly just fly through the bracket and just pick it off instinct, and then we'll obviously make some addendums and changes over the course of the next couple of days. So we'll do that in a second. Just a look at the regions, though, quick. East region, top left corner of the bracket, UConn, the 1 seed, Iowa State, the 2 seed, the 3 seed is Illinois, the 4 seed is Auburn. It's a good field. Illinois is interesting to me. I think they'll get knocked off early. Dane Danger, Terrence Shannon, right? They got some players. If they don't have their greatest night, I think they could go down easy. And I think that's that second-round matchup against Duquesne or BYU could be where Illinois gets caught. So that's something I'm stuck on. So that's your East region. Again, your top four seeds, UConn, Iowa State, Illinois, Auburn, the top four. In the West, the bottom left corner of your bracket, North Carolina gets the final number one seed. That one's interesting to me. I mean, there just wasn't four great teams in college basketball this year. That fourth number one seed was up for grabs. North Carolina gets it despite losing in the ACC championship game, but they probably make the best case out of anybody, right? Like I feel like Tennessee had a case, but they lost early in the SEC tournament. So I'm okay with UNC as the one seed. The two seed there is Arizona, three seed Baylor, four seed is Alabama. That's the weakest region, in my opinion. Bottom left corner of the bracket. I think a 7 seed, as I mentioned earlier, like Dayton, could go on a serious run. I think they're a really good team. St. Mary's, the 5 seed, is interesting. That 8-9 matchup between Michigan State and Mississippi State, I think that could be the best game of the opening round. So something to keep an eye on in the bottom left. In the South region, top right corner, the one we've spent the most time on so far, I haven't even mentioned the top seed. That's Houston. They're very good. They're the number 2 overall seed. Second seed in the South region, Marquette, as mentioned, 3 seed Kentucky, 4 seed Duke, 5 seed Wisconsin in the South region. And then finally in the Midwest region, which is the bottom right corner of the bracket, Purdue the 1 seed, Tennessee the 2 seed, the 3 seed is Creighton, and the 4 seed is Kansas. So those are your top 16 teams, essentially, the 1-4 seeds in this tournament. And those are obviously the favorites to win it all. But I don't know if I said the name of the national champion. I think I probably did. But this year, dude, anything is possible. Like looking at the 5 seeds, right? St. Mary's, Gonzaga, Wisconsin. San Diego State, I think, is hot at the right time. I think these are some really fascinating teams that have had really up and down seasons, because it seems everybody besides UConn and Houston have had up and down years. So this, I'm just blown away by the parity and the chaos that will ensue this week. Hunter, you want to take a look? You want to just roll through an instinct bracket quick? I have the ESPN Tournament Challenge bracket open, which, by the way, Cousin Subs giving away $1,000 of gift cards to you, to the top winner of the ESPN Wisconsin Bracket Challenge. You can look that up on the Tournament Challenge app or on ESPN.com. Just search ESPN Wisconsin. The password is Cousins, all lowercase letters, C-O-U-S-I-N-S. You get in for free. The top placer in the Bracket Challenge will receive $1,000 to Cousins subs that can be used at any time. So that is an awesome opportunity for you. It is an awesome opportunity for us, and looking forward to playing around and playing along with you. All right, instinct bracket. I'm just going to fly through this, no analysis. UConn over Stetson. Northwestern's going to beat FAU. I know Hunter said he likes FAU. I think they fall early. I'll take San Diego State. My first upset will be Yale over Auburn. I like Duquesne over BYU, the 11 over the 6. I'll take Illinois over Morehead State. Give me Drake over Washington State. Iowa State over South Dakota State there. South region, Houston, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Duke. I can't pick anything but that second-round matchup, which we'll talk about in a second. I like Texas Tech. I think NC State's Cinderella run comes to an end early. Marquette, and then I'll take the winner of that play-in game over Florida without their best rebounder on the floor. Going down to the bottom left, the West, North Carolina, Michigan State over Mississippi State, Big Ten bias by me. I think a lot of these high seeds, except New Mexico is the 11th seed, who I think will go on a run. I will take everything else chalk in that region. And then bottom right-hand corner, Purdue. So despite what I said earlier about 16 seeds, two of them will win. I think all the 1 seeds will win. I think that's the one fact I can give you about this tournament. I really like Utah State. I think they smoked TCU in the opening round. I'm going to take McNeese over Gonzaga, another 12-5 upset there. Kansas over Samford. Hunter, is this the best game of the first round in your opinion here? South Carolina, the 11-6?
I'm very excited for this game. I think it's going to be so good.
I like South Carolina, so I'm just going to take them there. But Oregon, obviously very hot. They won the last ever Pac-12. Did you think about it that way at all?
Yeah, I just don't have any sympathy for the Pac-12. They did this to themselves. Whatever.
I'll go Virginia, who I think wins the play-in game over Colorado State. I think they then beat Texas, so I'll take another 10 seed to advance there. So Uranda 32 is set. Let's go back to the top left now. The East region, I will take UConn over Northwestern. I'll take Yale as a Cinderella team out of the Ivy League. They're very smart in the Ivy League. I think their smarts pay off to the Sweet 16 for 13-seeded Yale. Another upset. Give me Duquesne over Illinois. Illinois, I hinted at it earlier. I like Duquesne making it to the Sweet 16 as well. So your 4 representatives in the East region. I have 1-seeded UConn, 2-seeded Iowa State, 11-seeded Duquesne, and 13-seeded Yale. This is my instinct bracket, by the way, which no rhyme or reason to this one. Houston over Nebraska. I think another Big Ten team falls there. I will take Wisconsin over Duke. Again, that's just bias by me, but I will do it. I'll take Texas Tech to upset Kentucky and Marquette to advance to the Sweet 16 in that region. Looking at the Rand of 32 in the West, give me North Carolina over Michigan State. Another Big Ten team falls. I like Alabama this year. I think they're flying under the radar a little bit as a 4 seed. I have them advancing to the Sweet 16. New Mexico and Dayton. I think Baylor and Arizona both fall in the round of 32 in that region. I think it is the weakest region. I think the low seeds are playing really good basketball right now. I love New Mexico. I know it's a really popular Cinderella pick right now across all sorts of opinions in the country. I think New Mexico is a huge favorite to be the Cinderella this year, I will jump on the bandwagon as well. I'll take Tennessee over Virginia. I will take Creighton over South Carolina. I'll take Kansas over McNeese and Purdue. So it'll be the top four seeds in the Sweet 16 for the Midwest region. Working our way back up now in the Sweet 16, UConn beats Yale. The Cinderella comes to an end. And Iowa State beats Duquesne, 1-2 in that region. Houston beats Wisconsin. Bum, bum, bum. Texas Tech beats Marquette. I think Wisconsin and Marquette both get to the Sweet 16. I think they both lose. Give me Texas Tech in the Elite Eight, playing with a spot in the Final Four on the line. Give me North Carolina over Alabama, New Mexico over Dayton. I'm sticking with it, man. I really like that prediction. I think Kansas beats Purdue. Matt Painter can't get it done in March, but he does get to the Sweet 16. I like Creighton. Big East, man. Maybe I have Big Ten bias, but I also have Big East bias. So Elite Eight now. Looking at the final rounds, if it allows me to, I can zoom in. Okay, got it. So UConn, I will take them in the Final Four. I think they make it. No, I'm going Iowa State. I'm going Iowa State. I'm big on Iowa State this year. I think Houston does get there, though. I'm really impressed by Houston. I think they get to the Final Four. Give me North Carolina and Kansas as well. So it ends up being kind of a blue blood Final Four minus Iowa State. Houston.
Three Big 12 teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, as chaotic of a conference as that was this year, apparently they're going to prevail in my instinct bracket. I'll go North Carolina, Houston in the national championship game, and I think the Heels get it done, which, again, as Hunter knows, not everybody knows this about me, but I am a North Carolina fan. So I will pick the North Carolina Tar Heels to win it all. To win it all. Right there? Is that where you want me?
Yeah, I was trying to do that subtly just through your headset, but...
Yeah. So there you go. There's the instinct bracket. What do we make of it? Hunter, thoughts?
It's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, you pick Kansas to go that deep when they have injury issues and they're not a deep team. The multiple double-digit seeds going into the Sweet 16 in one, all in one region is just craziness. You're a wild human being. That's just what I've come to realize.
But hold on, Hunter. What we should acknowledge is this will change a lot in the course of the next 4 days.
Yeah, you'll end up submitting an all chalk one, and then I'm just gonna be like, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I think the higher seed at every game. I do typically make one of those just to see how it does. Like, I don't enter in any pools.
It usually does, like, okay.
Yeah, like 65-70% typically. But yeah, the Cinderella's ruined that. And yep, you're definitely getting a double-digit Cinderella team this year. And by Cinderella, I mean gets to the Elite Eight. I think that's going to be New Mexico. I could hear the case for Duquesne or Yale out of the East. Auburn's really good. That's why that Yale game scares me. But after that, I feel like Yale has a path, despite how high I am on San Diego State, too. So... yeah, there we go. Okay. There's 30 minutes of takeaways on that.
So much of this can rely on what sort of officiating crew a team gets. Because, like, UConn could all of a sudden just, for whatever reason, the officiating crew is calling stuff that... My voice is still recovering from the weekend. That, like, the Big East officials would never call.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they're calling it all the time and they have trouble adjusting. You get... you know, guys fouling out, and then you're just struggling. And that's what's so fun about this, but also can be maddening when you're, like, all in on a team, and then they just get a bad matchup, or they just don't get the luck of the whistle.
No, you're totally right. I'm right there with you. So we will see. We'll talk plenty more March Madness coming up on Wednesday's show. But that's kind of the initial takeaways. I mean, there were some snubs from the bracket overall. I think Indiana State, they have Robbie Avila, who we love. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, as people have dubbed him recently. He's a guy that deserved to be playing in March. So it's too bad he didn't make the tournament, and Indiana State didn't get in. But you know, falling the way they did in their conference tournament. Not a good look and not a good enough resume to get in. So we will have some fun with the play-in game starting tomorrow. Boise State, Colorado, Virginia, Colorado State, the 10 seeds, and then the 16 seeds, Montana State versus Grambling and Howard versus Wagner in those play-in games, which begin tomorrow. The real action begins Thursday. I can't wait, though. Marquette and Wisconsin both playing Friday, and I have a cool opportunity, Hunter, on Friday. So Marquette plays at 1 o'clock Friday afternoon, early afternoon game, which is terrific, right after we get off the air, actually, slash, while we'll still be on the air, they'll tip off against Western Kentucky. After the Marquette game, Brian D. and I on 94.5 ESPN in Milwaukee, going live from the 3rd Street Market Hall. You can come hang out with us if you're in the Milwaukee area Friday afternoon or Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m. we'll be live. And that's pretty much going to lead us up to the Badger game at 8:40 on Friday. So it's our show, Marquette, or me and you, our show, Mr. Relevant. We do this show. Then it's the Marquette game. Then me and Brian D. do the special show on ESPN Milwaukee. Then it's the Badger game. Going to be a terrific Friday. I'm so excited about it.
Already the best time of the year, and then for you, that's just like the perfect day. You get your ego stroked, you get to be on the air a bunch, and you get to watch a bunch of college basketball. It was like it was made for you.
It's my day, man. It's my day. No doubt about that. That's hilarious from Hunter Vaughn. All right, want to switch gears, though. I want to talk a little Packers before we wrap up the show today, and then we'll get a bunch of stats from Hunter that he hasn't already thrown at us about bracket philosophy and things he's learned with the bracketologists, conspiracy theorists on TikTok that he spent time watching all weekend. I want to talk to Devondre Campbell, who was obviously released by the Green Bay Packers last weekend. And he took to Twitter over the weekend. He tweeted a million things, but I want to specifically look at these two tweets from Devondre Campbell on Twitter. First, Robin Adams, my friend Robin, tweeted him, you know, what changed from 2021 to the 2022 to 2023? Because the scheme sure felt worse every year, and we all know the coach in charge wasn't making any changes, and that's talking, of course, about Joe Barry. Devondre Campbell responds to Robin by saying, listen, if I would have listened to half the stuff they were telling me, I would have never went all pro. All year, all I heard was, can you do this? It'll help the scheme. I kept saying no all year, and look what happened. First team, all pro. He later went on to say this on Twitter, Devondre Campbell, at came underscore along underscore way. So Justin then responds, a guy named Justin responds to Devondre Campbell and said that Joe Barry defense played a lot better down the stretch as the same coach that made Devondre Campbell an all-pro. He says, you want to know why we played better? Because I started going and having private meetings with Matt LaFleur, telling him we needed to be more aggressive. We needed more man, and we needed to blitz more. And what happened when they listened to me? We played well and won. It's no coincidence. So I don't mind Devondre Campbell talking about some of the issues he had in Green Bay. I don't have an issue with that. The issue I do have, though, is that you look like a whiny bitch when you only take credit for your success and blame everybody else for your failures. I don't like that. I don't think it's a good look to other NFL teams for a guy that's a free agent and wants to continue playing football. It bothers me that Devondre Campbell goes out and says, yes, I'm the reason I was an all-pro. They're the reason that I wasn't an all-pro the other years I was in Green Bay, despite the fact that they made me a very well-paid linebacker in the league after being an all-pro guy my first year in Green Bay. He's been in the league 8 years. He's had one good season. So the other seven seasons, Devondre, was everybody else's fault that it didn't work out really well for you? Or do great players overcome adversity and make good things happen? So the issue I don't have is with Devondre Campbell talking about this and setting the record straight and, you know, trying to tell everybody what went wrong and what could have gone better for him. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is the lack of accountability. Devondre Campbell didn't play well in 2023. He was a bad linebacker for the Packers. Why do you think they're moving on from him? Because he's not good. He's not an all-pro guy consistently. He was 1 year, and he had a really nice year in Green Bay. But to give zero credit to Joe Barry and the defensive staff is asinine to me. And to go out and blame everybody else for your shortcomings just screams entitlement and that you think you're better than you actually are, which is fine if that's the case, but you think you're better than you are. So that's the part that bothers me with the Devondre Campbell tweets from over the weekend. Now, a couple of number one, like I mentioned, he's a free agent and he's looking for another job currently. What GM in the right mind would go read these tweets and be like, oh, yeah, that's a guy I want in my locker room. If stuff goes south, man, he's going to be a great leader based on those. No, you know, I'm fine with him having private meetings with Matt LaFleur and looking into stuff. But Come on. I mean, that really bothered me, that the accountability was there. And you know, there was more tweets, him talking about how much he was misused. I firmly believe the only misuse the Packers had with Devondre Campbell in 2023 was keeping him on the field as much as they did and continuing him as a starting linebacker, because he didn't have a good year at all. So moving on from him is obviously the right option. I'm over that. Lance on YouTube. Thanks, Lance. He actually signed with the 49ers. I missed that part. I didn't know he signed with the 49ers. Did you know that, Hunter?
No, I had no idea.
I mean, that's how irrelevant Devondre Campbell is, though. No pun intended. Is that he signed over the weekend, and I didn't see that. I don't think he got a Schefter tweet or a Rappaport tweet, because those are my notifications for free agency. And I've seen some guys that I have no idea who they are signed. So actually, now I'm upset that Devondre Campbell signed with the team that beat us in the playoffs. Us being the Packers, of course. Can't beat him, join him. Kevin Durant style right there, man. He's not going to start. They have the two best inside linebackers in the league in Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. I wonder how he feels he'll be used in San Francisco.
Dre did rupture his Achilles.
That's true.
So...
But he is expected to be ready for the season opener.
Oh.
At least as it stands.
That's surprising. Change. That might be why they went and did this. But yeah.
We'll see. Anyway. All right. Bookmark this to revisit after a year in San Fran. If he even lasts through the whole year there, I think San Francisco will be disappointed, says Joseph, on that with Devondre Campbell. Yeah, I don't mind the spilling of the beans. It's just I don't like the lack of accountability being taken here, because he was horrible last year. And that might be strong. He was bad last year. I don't know if he was horrible. He wasn't like detrimental to the team's success, but he was bad. All right, time now for What Stroph Learned, which is actually going to be what Hunter learned. Because Hunter today, I was asked the question by one of our interns, Quinn. She turned around and she said, Stroph, do you have any advice for me on my bracket? Hunter thinks his name is Stroph. So he answered the question on my behalf with things I would have never said and never known. So, Hunter, what did you learn from your conspiracy theorist bracketologists on TikTok over the course
of
this weekend?
It's not conspiracy theories. Second of all, I'm pretty sure she didn't just specifically say Stroph.
She did.
Okay,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, she did.
So some of the things I gave her, I was even pulling them up to make sure that I had them correct again. 100% of the champions since 2002 have been KenPom top 40 offense and top 22 defense. So that would leave us with UConn, Houston, Purdue, Arizona, Tennessee, North Carolina, Auburn, and Marquette.
Oh, okay. So you like that answer when Marquette comes into play. Sure.
100% of champions since 1985 have reached at least the semifinal round of their conference tournament. So that eliminates Tennessee, Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, and Creighton.
Hmm.
So there's some teams to not look out for.
So multiple teams I have in the Elite Eight.
Yes.
On my instinct bracket.
Which,
interesting.
That doesn't mean they don't make it to the Elite Eight. They just don't win the title.
Okay.
For that one.
Got it.
100% of champions since 2004 have been ranked in the top 12 of the week 6 AP poll.
Okay.
No. Now, when is week 6? When is week 6?
Late December?
Yes. What have you just started to get into?
Conference play.
Exactly. So you figure out then who is legitimate from the early season and those non-conference tournaments.
Say that again. It's top 6?
Top 12 in the week 6 AP poll.
Okay.
100% of the last 20 champions.
100% of them were in the top 12?
Yes.
Of the week 6 AP poll.
I have that poll.
Okay, I'm pulling it up as well, but go ahead and rattle it off.
Starting at number 12, it went Tennessee, Oklahoma, Gonzaga, North Carolina, Creighton, Marquette, Baylor, UConn, Houston, Purdue, Kansas, Arizona.
So only 11 of those teams are in the tournament.
Yes.
So Oklahoma,
and some of them have been eliminated based off of not making the semifinal round.
So who does that leave us with?
Really, of those kind of major ones, there is also one that since Arizona won the title in 1997, no team that has played in the Mountain or the Pacific time zone has won a title. The big three teams, it's Purdue, Houston, and UConn. The other six that could are Marquette, or the other three are Marquette, North Carolina, and Arizona.
So you just listed off all 4-1 seeds and 2-2 seeds.
Yes. So those are your six.
Boring.
That's just what the history and the stats show.
Who are you picking to win it all?
My first instinct one was Marquette. I usually do that.
I figured you would say that.
I'm honestly leaning a UConn-Houston national title. Like, yeah. It's super boring.
It is.
But they're head and shoulders above
Correct.
Everybody else.
They are clearly the two best teams in the field. So we will see. David on YouTube. Hunter, you're just trying to loop these theories into a reason to pick Marquette to win it all. Admit it.
No.
Terrific stuff. All right, we're back with you Wednesday. We'll be live at the Tipsy Cow in Sun Prairie from 12:30 to 1:30 this Wednesday. Hunter will be with me as well as we continue to dive in all things March Madness, all things NCAA tournament. We'll also talk a little bit more about the Packers. We'll start getting into draft talk here this week as well. We'll start looking at ahead to the NFL draft and our local draft expert Tiny Hands will fill me in on some of the stuff I need to know and you need to know heading in to the NFL draft, just over a month away already. So I'm really excited to start talking draft and maybe looking ahead at what the Packers should attack from a positional standpoint, but also what they should target early with the 25th overall pick in round number one. Big thanks to everybody watching along with us, chime in along with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at ESPN Madison. If you missed any of the show, you want to catch full show podcasts, available, of course, on YouTube in the Mr. Irrelevant playlist and wherever you get your podcast on the audio side, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, all those places, Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast, just search Mr. Irrelevant. It will be the first result on any of your podcast apps. Back with you Wednesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you then. Peace.